Welcome to Faithwalking Conversations. In this episode, Ken Schumann and a group of faithwalkers reflect on the topic of keeping the transformation alive. This conversation was originally recorded in July of 2020. We want to remind you that Faithwalking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. Join the conversation.
Till I'm looking through the eyes of love, I'm gonna look twice at you. Until I see the Christ in you, I'm gonna look twice.
Well, today, I wasn't really sure until this morning what I wanted to even talk about today. And part of what's emerging for me is I'm just kind of sharing with y'all my own story and my own journey, my own experiences as I'm learning and as I'm growing during the pandemic. And so today I'm calling this How to Keep My Own Transformation Alive. And I realize we have a variety here of people. We've got some folks that have been through everything Faithwalking offers. We have some folks that have not been through anything Faithwalking offers. And we have people all along the journey in between. And so I'm just going to be talking about some of my own learning. And one of the things that I hope that you will hear in this is that So in one of my modules of Faithwalking this week, we're wrapping up almost all of our Faithwalking groups. And in one with a group of people that are like in module five, I mean, they're a long way in the journey. One of the pastors that's in that group laughed at me and he said, one of the things Faithwalking always talks about is that transformation has a half-life. And what that means is that if we don't keep working on our own transformation, we'll lose what we gained. That's what that means. And he laughed and he said, I don't think that's true. He said, I think that Faithwalking, that transformation has a one-third life. And that if you don't keep working on it, you lose it in about 3 or 4 days and lose all the progress you gained. And so one of the things that we constantly talk about is how do we keep our own personal transformation alive? Faithwalking is a community of people that are committed to ongoing personal transformation. And so I'm just going to share a few things that I'm aware of today that are a part of my own personal transformation story. So one of the things that we teach about managing anxiety is one of the practices is what feeds your soul, is to ask and answer that question. What feeds your soul? And when we ask it, it is asking the question, not what feeds you spiritually. Okay, so please listen carefully. It's a different question. It's not what feeds you spiritually. It's what gives you life? What lights you up? What encourages you? What are the things? And one of the things that I am becoming aware of is I'm wanting to, so awareness is a key Faithwalking principle. And I am constantly wanting to be aware of new and different things that feed my soul. And today, I opened up Facebook this morning when I got up. And as you well know, Facebook has plenty of stuff that's discouraging, disheartening, and anger-producing. But I subscribe to a page on Celtic spirituality, and on their page today was just a beautiful picture. And I opened it, And I was so fascinated by it that then I went to the artist, the photographer's page, and I just started scrolling through his pictures. So he is a landscape photographer, a cityscape photographer. And for whatever reason, and I'm not a huge art guy, for whatever reason, and I have very limited artistic ability in me. But I was so captured by this page that I couldn't get off of it. I think I spent 45 minutes just scrolling through his pictures and looking for what he titled each one of them and trying to discover where it was. And what I discovered was that that kind of artwork feeds my soul. It was life-giving. And, kind of intuitively, I've known that in the back of my mind because there's certain pictures and art. I mean, I've got art in my office from vacations we've been on, and most of them are landscapes and from landscape artists. So why am I telling you all that? I'm telling you all that because I want to invite you to consider, what is it that feeds your soul? And might you be open to something you didn't even expect to feed your soul? And then when you find it, give yourself permission to enjoy it. Give yourself permission to dwell in it and to just say, okay, you know what? I'm going to give myself a 45-minute Sabbath right here, and I'm going to enjoy this artwork this morning because it's really, really good. So that's point number one. That's what I'm talking about there. Okay. Second thing for me that I want to talk with you about are some places of continuing growing awareness in me, in my own transformational journey. And a couple of you have heard some of these stories because you've been in groups with me this week, and I've shared some of these. But I want to share a couple of things. So one is for you that are in faith walking or have been in our process, you know we talk about the language of vows, and that our vows trigger us, and our vows stop us, and our vows prevent us from showing up in the way we want to show up. Well, Monday, I I've been on this journey for, all in all, it wasn't called faith walking, but I've been on this journey now of personal transformation for about 25 years. So I've been at this a long time. You would think by now I would have arrived, right? I mean, surely I would have my certification, and we would have a drive-by party for me celebrating Ken finally graduated from transformation class. But the truth is, I don't believe that ever happens, not in this life. And I believe that transformation is going to take us the rest of our lives. And so I became aware, I was driving to Costco, which is, a big warehouse store here. And I became aware that my anxiety was rising, and my anxiety was rising because I felt like, oh, I have to hurry up. I'm not going to get you lost in all the travel log of it, but I was anxious about hurry. And what I then was able to do doing the work of faith walking is to go back and say, okay, what's that about? What's that? Where's that anxiety coming from? What's the threat about? And because I've practiced so much, and it doesn't always work this way, it took me about 30 seconds to uncover what the cause was and what the source was. And I went back to my first formation, and in my first formation, we were always in a hurry. And I can hear my dad saying this to me, hurry up, and let's get this work done so that then we can go play or we can go do whatever we want to do. The only problem was there was always so much work, we rarely got it all done. And we showed up the next day with that same list of, okay, get your work done. We always hurried at meals. We hurried to go to church. And what I realized was that ingrained in me deeply, because it was shaped in my first formation, is the idea, and I'm going to phrase it in vow language, I must hurry. I'm 63 and a half years old, which even to say it, I can't believe it's true. But that's how old I am. And I've realized for the vast majority of that 63 years, I was in a hurry. I'm always in a hurry. I'm in a hurry to cut the grass. I'm in a hurry to do my chores. I'm in a hurry to get my work done. And I stopped and I asked the question that we ask in faith walking. Well, who do you want to be instead? How do you want to be? And what I realized was I don't want to be in a hurry anymore. And so today, I'm on at least the third, maybe the fourth iteration of a guiding principle positive declaration. And for ladies that were with me Tuesday, it changed since Tuesday. And so here's what I'm living into today. I live an unhurried life. That's my guiding principle. And what I want to model for you is that's the third iteration in a week. So I kept trying it on and seeing, is it powerful enough and does it work? And it wasn't. But I really liked that one. And somehow I needed the language of hurry in it. And so I live an unhurried life is my new guiding principle. And that just emerged this week, and I'm pretty satisfied with it. Yeah, I'm not in a hurry to be 64, Angela. No. Angela is really feeling her oats today. Her doctor's appointment yesterday must have gone really well.
Wow. I hadn't discovered the source, but maybe you're right. That's it.
Yeah. So that what I want to emphasize for you is the ongoing work of awareness. What's going on in you? What's getting stirred up in you? Why is it being stirred up in you? What's the source of it being stirred up in you? And for you that have been through faith walking, always be open to the idea. You know what? There might be a new vow lurking around the next corner. and here's what we say in faith walking about our vow work. It's like peeling an onion. Once you peel it one layer, you just find another layer or two underneath. And every time you peel a layer back, what happens? It stinks and you cry. I don't know that I cried over this one, but it stunk when I realized, okay, I'm in a hurry. So that's number one, and I'm sharing a lot today, but I want to share some other things on my mind. So I have this growing awareness that I am privileged as a white male in this country. I know white privilege is being thrown around a lot. I know that it's a trigger button for a lot of people. But I want to tell you my story. I met a guy named Reggie in the protest march that we had here in my community of Tomball. He's an African-American man, and he lives just a couple of blocks from me. So the other day, I'm out in my front yard, and my late 70s neighbor lady came over, and we were at the mailboxes, and she was sharing and talking a little bit. And I didn't recognize him because I'd only seen him kind of from the side as we were walking. I didn't get a good look at him, but Reggie comes walking up the street. He's out on a walk, and Reggie is a pretty good size, athletically built, weightlifting African-American man. And I know I'm making meaning. Okay. But it was almost as if I could feel this older lady, my neighbor, getting anxious. She kept looking at Reggie, and as he got nearer, I didn't recognize him yet, but I spoke to him and I said something about him out for a walk on such a hot day and blah blah blah. But I could almost feel her anxiety, and then he got past and it clicked in my head. Oh my gosh, that's Reggie. And so I called him by name, and he turned and waved and said hi. And then he went on, and I turned to my neighbor lady, and I said, "He's a really good guy." And she said, "Oh, I'm so glad." She said, "I don't mind good guys moving to the neighborhood, but I don't want any bad guys moving into the neighborhood." Well, you know what the truth is? I don't want bad guys moving into my neighborhood either. But again, the meaning I make, and from my experience, I think she was anxious toward him because of his skin color, because of the way he looked. I walk in my neighborhood every day. And there's not been one day that I walk in my neighborhood and feel like there's something wrong with me, or there's something different about me, or there's something, or that I need to be afraid. Yesterday, in fact, I walked right around the police department, and there were a couple of police officers hanging out, and I was just reminded, I was unafraid. Why? Because the police are supposed to be there to protect and serve, right? And yet I know, because I've heard their stories from my African-American friends, some of my African-American friends, that they would be anxious walking around that same police department. And so that story, folks, has made me aware of my own privilege. Call it whatever you want. I'm not anxious when I walk down the street. I'm not concerned about that. And so, I wanted to tell you about that growing awareness. There's a third growing awareness for me is I've got some neighbors right across the street from me that are struggling financially. And the husband had a stroke, and this is a couple in their 40s. They're not old. The wife did not work. Now she has to work. She's got a part-time job. And I just became aware that the poor live across the street from me. And God says, be generous with the poor. And I'm wondering, and I'm asking the question about what I'm supposed to do about that. Which then led to my fourth question, which kind of the Reggie story and my neighbors across the street story led me to this fourth awareness, which is how do I live a missional life? Because in faith walking, we believe that's the end game, is to be on mission with God in the place that we live, work, and play. How do I live missionally in my neighborhood while I stay isolated, and while I'm trying to be responsible about myself and protect myself during this pandemic? And so I'm aware that I'm asking that question, and I'm trying to think creatively about what that looks like. And it also leads me to ask the question, I'm somewhere in between an extrovert and an introvert. I'm about midway. Through lots of practice, I'm pretty comfortable talking to people, and I'm pretty comfortable talking to people I don't know, especially if my goal is to live missionally. But there's some introvert in me also. But I'm asking the question, and what does it look like for introverts to live missionally? For those that don't want to talk and don't want to get out. And so I think all of that is at play. So now, third big idea for me and third big faith walking principle, and all of this kind of ties together, is I continue to use the tool of guiding principle positive declarations. Whichever piece of that language, if you've been in faith walking, if you've been in it long enough, you've heard both. If you're just beginning, you've heard positive declarations. I find great power in that tool of writing down a declaration about how I want to show up in the world. And so I have some existing guiding principles around some of this work. And I've got some new ones. And I just want to share them with you as examples of what I'm working on as I'm thinking about this. So the first thing is, I've already shared with you my new guiding principle. I live an unhurried life. And so I'm living into that. Even when I go out for my walk, I use it particularly on my walk. When I head out, because usually on my walk, I'm in a hurry. But I'm walking now and thinking, I live an unhurried life, and I'm gonna have an unhurried walk. This is Sabbath, and doing that. The second thing, and this is something I gave my word to 10 years ago now. I can't believe it's been that long. Four years ago. I give my word to racial wholeness in Tomball, Texas. Now, if you've been all the way through faith walking, you know about the language of giving our word to big promises. And if you have forgotten that, you need to be reminded of that. That's the big promise I'm giving my word to. Now, I don't take that lightly, and I realize I can't do that by myself, and I can't do it without God. Okay? So I want to recognize that. And I just, as I became aware of my own privilege, I'm thinking about more clearly, how do I live into what I've given my word to? See, you can give your word to things and then never do anything. It's okay. What does that look like? What does it look like? How, and so this combination, how am I going to connect with Reggie and Jessica, his wife, and their family while being isolated in a pandemic? How am I going to do that? But I'm going to find a way. So that's one. The scripture, particularly in Deuteronomy, I'm reminded of the text where it says, you're going to have the poor with you always. And then, so I'm anticipating what God's going to say. So therefore, you know, just don't worry about the poor, right? I mean, they're going to be with you always. But that's not what the word says. The scripture says, you're going to have the poor with you always. So therefore, be generous with the poor. And so with my neighbors across the street, I'm reminding myself, and I wrote it down as a guiding principle. It's always kind of been under there, but I want to say it out loud. I am generous, and I'm going to be generous with my neighbors across the street in whatever way that looks, without making them a project and without belittling them or putting them down, all of those things. And then the final thing that really clicked this morning. So I pray for my neighborhood, and I've prayed for some of my neighbors. But what I'm giving my word to today is I pray for my neighbors regularly by name. And I listed out 12 names of 12 neighbors that I prayed for today, and I'm going to pray for them regularly. I wanted to say I pray for my neighbors daily, but I was scared to make that commitment. You ever scared to make a commitment? I'm not sure I can keep that one. So I wrote regularly. That's as good as I can do today. But my hope is one day I can say daily. So those are the things that are going on in me. Those are the things stirring up. Seems like God is doing plenty these days. And I guess what I want to just say and have you discuss with me is, how do we stay aware and how do we grow during these days that are challenging? And what are you learning and how are you growing and how are we implementing using these tools that we've got in faith walking? I'm done. So what's that stir up for you? Anything at all? I know I threw out a hodgepodge of potpourri pot full of stuff.
I don't mind starting. Ken, when you were sharing at the beginning about encouraging us to identify those things that give us life, I started doing that a few years ago, and art is also something that really resonates with me and has for several years. I like different kinds of art. I enjoy
meeting local artists. Houston is a huge art community, and I'm collecting art when I can. But one of the things that I've discovered about when we find those things that give us life, I believe it's connected to the way God has created us as individuals. Mm-hmm. I believe that, you know, when we're born, when we're very small, that he's gifted us in particular ways, and he's giving us particular personality traits to do his work. And sometimes in the process of life, that all gets muddled up. When we can go back and identify those things that give us life, I think it helps us to become who we really are. Mm-hmm. And when we know who we really are and what gives us life, I think, for me, it helps me to be more assured of who I am, but it also enables me to speak my truth without feeling threatened of what other people's truths are.
Right.
And it makes me a better listener.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what was going through my mind as you were sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Trish. Really good. That last piece, what clicked for me was, and what you're talking about is self-differentiation, which is one of the things that we teach. Okay. How do I show up, be who I am, stay connected with other people who see the world different than I do? Yeah. Good. Good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your own journey and learning.
I missed the question.
I didn't really ask one other than just what gets stirred up, Brenda. Deborah raised her hand. Let's let her talk. And if you want to say something or something got stirred up, and we don't have to, I always want to give you time kind of in the large group to debrief a little, and then we'll go into our breakout rooms and we'll talk about it there. Deborah?
Yeah, I just so appreciate you sharing what's current for you right now regarding the tying into inner vows and how to make guiding principles for right now. And you always exemplify, you talked about it right now today, just we're always growing and new situations pop up for us.
Right.
Where one set of guiding principles isn't, it's not like the Ten Commandments, they came down from stone.
Right.
They're very fluid, and new situations will trigger, like you said, and I hate to say, I know you're right. There's inner vows there we haven't even seen or felt.
Yeah.
And by this age that I am 64, I'm kind of like, I'd like to see the end of those, but I know they're going to keep happening as long as I live. And it's just good to hear. We just need to reset them, and guiding principles can be different for different situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what's so valuable.
That is it, Deborah. I always have probably anywhere from 2 to 4 that I'm focusing on. Wow. And so I've got a large number of guiding principles guiding my life, but many of them, I'm doing them fairly well. So what I bring to the forefront are, and what do I need to be focusing on right now? And so when I wrote that one, I am generous. Right now, I need to think about what does that look like with my neighbors? Because that's what's getting stirred up. So we talk about in the missional part of faith walking, discerning where God's at work and joining with God and God's ongoing work. Well, God keeps stirring that in me, which means I believe God's at work there somehow, and I need to partner with God in that. And so I wrote a guiding principle that I just assumed, I've lived all my life fairly generous. Yeah, but right now I want to focus on generosity. So for me, it's what do I need to focus on now? And in my journey and experience, if I get more than about 4 of those, I get lost and it's too many. So It's okay. Here's two, one, two, three, four. And I'm working on now. Good stuff. All right. Let me break us into breakout room. I'm going to let y'all talk about it on your own. Welcome back.
Ken, I have a question.
Yep.
When we go to breakout, are you in a room with anybody? Are you?
No, I intentionally stay out.
Leslie. Okay. I was just curious. I've been dying to know. I'm like, is he in a room?
Do you want me to be?
I just needed to know whether you were.
Ah, gotcha.
The mysteries of Keep Calm.
I am not. All right. Anything get stirred up or anything you want to talk about out of any of this? My part, the small group part.
I found it really interesting over lockdown from how things have changed personally for me. So I would have said, to start off with, I was one of the biggest extroverts. And so not being able to see lots of people all the time and be like in the middle of everything, like just sitting in a, like if I'm on my own, I want to be sat in a coffee shop with people around me. Mm-hmm. And so I've really had to learn how to feed myself and how to enjoy being on my own. And so kind of the whole creativity side of it and putting that in my diary as something I do every single day, I've found that has really just given me some time out. I'm doing something, but I'm not, like, it's totally different to what I would usually do. Mm-hmm. And that's really just been so good that it's a time where I can dial down. It's a time where I can let God speak to me, which he often does while I'm kind of stitching. And yeah, it's just been really powerful to see how you can take, like, what would have been really scary for me at kind of in the middle of March of spending so much time on my own, that's now, I've now found, or I'm finding a balance that's actually feeding my soul, that mm-hmm. That's just been amazing. It's not what I expected to happen at all. And it's a real joy that, like, I can now kind of, yeah, just be on my own. I don't need loads of people around to be fed in the same way. And so mm-hmm. just finding those things has been so precious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've discovered similar things, Michelle, and it's just always fascinating that, especially during this pandemic, is that it's almost like we were forced into it, but because of it, it helps us find ourselves. So good stuff. Thank you. I shared one of the pictures from my new photographer person over here in the chat box, if y'all want to, and he signed all of them. So I hope if you're interested, you could find his name. I don't know if you can open that or not.
See it. It may be because I was not back yet.
It's okay.
I don't see it.
Okay. Let me see what I can do. I might do.
You could probably.
I might do this.
There you go.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's beautiful. I love lighthouses.
I love that one with the rocks and the forest.
Oh, wow.
I want to sit there.
That reminds me of Georgia, where I used to live. It's beautiful.
Most of these, I think, were in Wales.
They look a little bit like the UK.
Yeah, these were in the UK. This guy's from Holland.
Okay.
But these were in the UK. Anyway, I just wanted to share.
Oh, beautiful. Can you put the artist's name in the chat and we can copy it down?
Yeah, if I can spell it.
Maybe have Angela send it.
You know, that's always a good idea. But I might. So here's the link to his Facebook site. Andre Abtemeyer. I can't pronounce it correctly. If you're interested.
Well, I mean, it would be good to be able to scroll through. There we go. Some of his photos for that sense of calm. 30 seconds of calm, I think, is what CNN calls this.
Yeah. Yeah. And what he says on his site is, you're welcome to post his pictures on your Facebook as long as you give him the copyright credit. So he's, yeah. Anyway, gang, it's always good to see you. Thanks for hanging out with me on Fridays. I hope you have a great weekend and a good next week, and I will see you next Friday unless there's a burning something somebody needs to say. Anything? Nope, we're all doing the beauty pageant wave.
I'm doing the Queen's wave.
Oh, is that? Yeah.
Y'all have a great week.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
For more information about faith walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that faith walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening.
Until I see the Christ in you, till I'm looking through the eyes of love. I'm looking through the eyes of love.